Well, maybe we'll be talking about the aftermath of the four ballot questions here in Massachusetts, because that is where the attention has been in this state, and it's been a very expensive fight. Committees for and against each question are required to file their final campaign finance reports with the state tonight at midnight. But so-called late contribution reports have been trickling in over the past few days. Radio Boston senior associate producer Kathleen McNerney has been following the ballot question money this entire political season. And Kathleen, let's start with ballot question two. That, of course, is the question to lift the cap on charter schools. It's getting national news attention and lots of out-of-state money, making it the single most expensively fought ballot question in Massachusetts history. So how much has been raised by both camps so far?
So far, $38 million has been raised just on this question alone. That eclipses the 2014 total for all the ballot questions. In 2014, it was $30 million.
Again, and that was for all the ballot questions in 2014.
And just this one.
And so just this one, we have $38 million raised so far. Okay, so let's start with the no side then. How much have they raised and who's the money been coming from?
So the no side, it's almost $15 million. And the vast majority, 99%, comes from teachers' unions. The Massachusetts Teachers Association has chipped in the most, about half of that amount.
Half of that amount. Okay, so what, 99% or more overall of all the no money is coming from several teachers' unions?
Yep.
Okay. Is it the same story on the yes side, a small group of large donors? How much have they raised?
That's this story. So on the yes side, it's $24 million total. $20 million of that, the largest portion, is from a group called Families for Excellent Schools. They're based in New York, an advocacy group. We've tried reaching out to them many times and sort of get the runaround on the phone system. They were founded by big Wall Street players, such as Paul Applebaum, who's a principal at Rock Ventures. He also created Seamless, the online delivery system. So if you look at and break down the numbers, a lot of this money is coming from out of state and from people who have made their wealth in areas other than education and want to have their say on this issue.
Hmm. And Families for Excellent Schools, as you and I have been reporting for a couple months now, as a not-for-profit, is not required to disclose who its donors are.
Right. So that's the big question. I mean, the vast majority of this money that's coming in, we don't really know who they are or what stake or interest they might have in our education system here in Massachusetts.
Hmm. So, but on either side, it's two small groups raising vast sums of money. And I crunched the numbers on the late contributions that have come in about the past 10 days just for ballot question two. And I calculated some a little over $5 million pulled in a 10-day period.
Right. It's staggering.
Wow. Well, Kathleen, stand by here for just a second, because I want to move over to ballot question one. That's the question of whether or not to add another slot parlor in Massachusetts. And let's bring back Stephanie Ebert. She's a reporter for the Boston Globe. She's been reporting on this for some time. Stephanie, it's great to talk with you again.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Okay. So tell us, what do we know about the story of who's financing ballot question one?
Well, big surprise last week. The campaign for the slots initiative submitted some new filings to the State Office of Campaign and Political Finance that acknowledged what some of us had long suspected, was that this group was being funded by casino developers who have done work elsewhere in the United States and around the world. So it's a group called Bridge Capital that's leading it, as well as some other affiliates. And they have raised $3.2 million on this effort as of last week.
And what do we know about other projects they've financed before?
So this group called Bridge Capital is two guys named John Baldwin and Sean Scott. Sean Scott is pretty well known in the United States for having launched very similar ballot initiatives. They have tried in New York, in Washington, D.C., Louisiana. They had numerous attempts at it in Guam, and they had a casino that was operational in the country of Laos until last year, when they got in a big dispute with the government and the casino was seized.
Wow. The fact that this Massachusetts referendum is so bizarrely global in nature still stops me in my tracks. But,
yeah.
But Stephanie, have you been able to talk to the elusive Eugene McCain, the man whose land the slot parlor may go on, you know, if the question is passed? I mean, have you talked to him since these new filings
came through? Not since these new filings came out. He sent an email and he said he would answer questions, but he has not.
Yeah.
But fascinating, yes, to be researching. The Bridge Capital, in fact, is based in the Northern Mariana Islands. So my research has led me as far as Guam for this and Saipan.
Well, while I've got you, let me ask you, though, on the other side of ballot question one in opposition, has there been any spending from other big casino names?
Yes, a little bit. Last week, there was a filing also made by Wynn. Wynn Resorts had started an opposition campaign and announced last week they'd put $30,000 into it. I'm expecting that might still go up in the final days, but that's what they had reported as of last week. And the there's also a residents group that had been opposing this effort that just has a smattering of money. Now, it was interesting when Wynn got involved previously, there was a local referendum on this issue in Revere on October 18th. And at that point, Wynn was below the radar funding an opposition campaign along with the residents in Revere who were fighting against this proposal. They were successful in knocking it down in Revere, but if it would pass statewide, it would come back before them.
Wow, so laying the groundwork there for that possibility.
Right.
Well, Stephanie Evert is reporter for the Boston Globe. She brought us up to speed on spending and money raising around ballot question one. Stephanie, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, well, let's turn back to Radio Boston Senior Associate Producer Kathleen McNerney, who's here with me in the studio. I've got a couple more ballot questions to go over here, Kathleen. What about question three? That's the one about banning the sale in Massachusetts of meat or eggs from animals that are confined. What's the spending there?
Yeah, so it's a similar story on the yes side. Probably no surprise here. It's advocacy groups for animals. So you have the Humane Society giving 74% of the $2.5 million that they've raised so far, ASPCA and the Massachusetts Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals have also donated large sums.
So that's the yes side. And in opposition, what kind of money have they raised?
I mean, compared to the $2.5 million on the yes side, it's a small number, about $300,000 raised. A large portion of that comes from Forrest Lucas, president of Lucas Oil. Who knew? $200,000.
And we don't know why.
We haven't reached out to him directly, so it's unclear why, if this is something that he just feels passionately about. The next largest is the National Pork Producers Council, which makes a bit more sense.
Yeah.
When you look at the interest at stake there.
How much have they put in?
They've put in about $110,000.
Just $110,000. Okay. Well, so let's finish off here with ballot question four, and that, of course, is the other really big ballot question that voters are going to grapple with, and that's the one about whether to legalize recreational marijuana. So, first of all, in total, how much has been raised on this ballot question?
A little over $8 million total.
$8 million. Okay.
Yeah, it's a big one, and the leader on that is the yes side, about $5.5 million raised in support of question four. 80% of that comes from a super PAC called New Approach PAC, which is based in Washington, D.C., and their sole focus is on loosening marijuana laws in the United States.
Huh. And so then on the no side, that little, what, $2.5 million or so?
$3 million.
$3 million. Yep. Okay. And who's putting most of the money there?
So the largest donor is Sheldon Adelson, the Vegas casino mogul. He's donated $1 million of his own money. The second
In opposition to marijuana legalization.
Yeah. The other biggest donor, Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Boston, really opposed to it, and they've put in $850,000 of their own money or their parishioners' money into this.
So, Kathleen, you and I have been obsessing over campaign finance.
So many spreadsheets.
For many weeks and many months here, and we had this discussion a lot during our editorial meeting. I feel like it's a remarkable thing that most of these ballot questions here in Massachusetts, which are ostensibly, focused on local issues, are drawing such vast sums of money from well outside of the state.
Yeah, I mean, you think of this as a grassroots democratic process. There's this whole signature gathering and groundswell of support, rallies, that sort of thing. But when you break down who's financing it, even when these are very personal questions, there are some key interest groups that are pouring money to try to influence the election to go the way that they see fit. And I don't know whether it's ideological or there's some financial stake. I think it's different for each donor, but I think it's important to keep in mind as you head to the polls and vote.
Yeah, because there are moneyed interests on either side who have aims and goals in mind, which may or may not align with the democratic ideal that is a voter referendum.
Exactly.
Well, Kathleen McNerney is senior associate producer here at Radio Boston. She has been our numbers and money girl for the past many months. Kathleen, thanks so much.
Thank you, Meghna.
Back in a minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.